Informing America's farmers and ranchers. This is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And thank you for joining us here for another episode of AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Happy to have you along for the conversation. We have plenty to get to here on today's show. We're going to talk with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley coming up here after the bottom of the hour. No doubt that will be a good conversation with Senator Grassley. Looking forward to asking him about a wide variety of topics on Capitol Hill and more. So we'll get to that coming up here after the bottom of the hour. In segment two, it is National Pest Management Month, the month of April. And we're going to talk about managing pests around your home. Dr. Jim Fredericks with the National Pest Management Association. He's their Senior VP of Public Affairs and Chief Entomologist. He's going to join us for a conversation coming up here in just a little bit. Also, at the end of the show, we're going to talk about SCN with Troy Bauer from BASF. First up, though, we want to talk HPAI and dairy cattle, of course, an ongoing, evolving situation. Joining us for a conversation, Dr. Kevin Dill, Director of Dairy Technical Innovation for Purina, and Dr. Katie Redditch is the Manager of Veterinary Services for Purina. Thank you both for joining us today. Hope you're doing well.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Jesse.
Well, let's start. Obviously, this is an ongoing situation. It's a developing situation, of course, as we continue to watch the spread of HPAI in dairy cattle and more. And I know it's a tough situation. So let's think about this, you know, and look at what's going on, why we're having another discussion about HPAI here in dairy cattle. If one of you wants to maybe just give us some general thoughts and some of the latest maybe about where things stand right now.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and take that one, Jesse. So, I mean, you're right, what you're saying. It's kind of a rapidly evolving understanding of the current challenge in the dairy industry right now. So we really want to bring some knowledge to our producers to help, you know, give them that power to help support and protect their herds and their people. We also want to ensure that the general public knows that their milk is safe. We have no concerns about that right now. So that's one of the big things. We want to be proactive in these situations, not reactive. And we want to just let everyone know this is something that's being closely monitored. It's continuing to be researched, but it's not something that we should be afraid of. It's not something we should be fearing. So,
all right. How about signs and symptoms? Let's go there. What are some of those signs and symptoms of an HPAI infection in our dairy cattle, and maybe talk about that and how this virus is potentially spreading?
As far as what we know so far, is what the research is still ongoing, as we talked about, and it's believed that the spread is by migratory birds. And then once it's on a certain place, any avian on that premises could potentially be spreading. So your starlings, your blackbirds, your small, you know, birds that are going back and forth in between your barns. So that's really something that we'll think about as far as a biosecurity standpoint. As far as some of the symptoms that are being seen in our dairy cattle, we're seeing some decreased milk production, quite a good sizable amount of decreased milk production in the ones that have been infected, decreased feed intake, decrease in ruminations for those cows that have the cattle manager tags in, change in the milk consistency and color of it, and then some change in manure quality, and fevers can also come with it also.
Okay. What about biosecurity measures? Let's talk about that a little bit. Kevin, maybe I can bring you in here on this. What biosecurity measures should dairy farmers have in place right now to try and help mitigate the spread of HPAI?
Yeah, Jesse, in addition to what Dr. Katie mentioned from a migratory bird and then on-farm avian species, I think producers need to consider traffic patterns as it relates to equipment that may potentially contaminate or spread the disease pathogen onto the feed consumed by the animals. The other key place is to disinfect the waterers of these livestock, as birds tend to perch there and contribute to the pathogen load in the digestive tract of the animal. So those are some other aspects related to the biosecurity, specifically as it relates to feed and water.
Well, how about as far as a nutritional aspect here? I mean, how can producers maybe approach HPAI infections from a nutritional aspect, or are there things they could do to try and help on that side of the equation? Can you guys talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Jesse, from that perspective, you know, the healthy rumen is the best defense to try to deactivate or minimize the impact once the animals do have the pathogen in their GI tract. So as you think about the most at-risk animals, with those being mature, mid to late lactation cows, that diet specifically needs to make sure you're mixing practices to prevent sorting. Some of those kinds of aspects are reviewed and reinforced during this potential risk. And some other pieces as it relates to rumen health, if you do have an outbreak, you just need to work with your nutritionist on some nutritional strategies and supportive additives that may help mitigate the overall impact of this disease outbreak. Those can include things from biosecurity of the feed, gut health, rumen function, all those typical kinds of things. In addition, there may be need for immune support during the challenge if those secondary outcomes happen, as Dr. Katie mentioned.
Well, and I'm sure if producers have questions, they need to reach out to their local veterinarian, things like that, as we continue to watch the spread of HPAI. Any final thoughts from either of you or both of you in terms of just what producers need to keep in mind? Katie, would you maybe want to go first there?
Yeah, sure. Just, you know, it's something that these biosecurity practices are something that most of us already have in place. So just, you know, review them with your workers. Make sure if we're slacking a little bit here, we step that up. You know, simple things, hand washing, wearing gloves, you know, making sure we walk between our young animals first and then into our older animals, not transmitting things just on our own. And, you know, educating them on why we're doing it is how I feel that we get the best compliance with things like that. And reach out if you have questions and something we can do to help.
Kevin, any final thoughts from you?
Yeah, Jesse. So just due to the rapidly evolving nature of this challenge, their local veterinarian is important to engage first. They have the best line of sight as to updates, transportation, changes, animal movement restrictions, those kinds of things. So they really need to start there. The other aspect is to make sure that they report. If they see symptoms that are consistent with a potential HPAI challenge, to, again, involve that local vet so that these things can get tracked, so we can build out our knowledge base and understanding of this disease and how it's impacting our dairy industry.
Well, good thoughts, good insight. We'll continue to follow along as we watch HPAI's spread in dairy cattle, and hopefully we can start to curb that spread real soon. With that, Dr. Kevin Dill, Director of Dairy Technical Innovation for Purina, and Dr. Katie Redditch, the Manager of Veterinary Services for Purina, thank you both for joining us on the program today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you.
All right, coming up next here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel. Learn more at cenex.com. We're going to talk with Dr. Jim Fredericks from the National Pest Management Association on the way next here on AOA. Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, where we take a close look at the benefits of cooperative ownership. Every week, we'll host a new guest and discuss how you can get the most from working with your local cooperative. And we'll learn why farmers and ranchers just like you choose cooperatives to help them persevere and prosper. Tune in each Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
From grain and livestock market analysis to policy updates affecting agriculture, the latest agricultural weather, ag news headlines, and much more, we have you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. Get up-to-the-minute information with the American Ag Network on air, online, and on demand. Find us on your favorite social media platforms and follow the American Ag Today podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
A promise is potent. Born of intention, fueled by commitment, it's seeing things through, always showing up. And we know a thing or two about promises here at Susan G. Komen. Over 40 years ago, we locked arms with you toward one vision, a world without breast cancer. By investing in life-saving research and standing up for patient rights, we are shifting the system so all people everywhere get the care they deserve. Because if you've just been diagnosed and don't know where to turn, we've got you. If you can't afford the treatment you need, we've got you. And if you are driven to raise money to honor the best friend you've just lost, we have a place for you here. Because of you, we're supporting those who need help today while tirelessly searching for tomorrow's cures. Ending breast cancer needs all of us. Visit Komen.org and be a part of the Susan G. Komen community today.
America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Where I grew up, getting dressed up means button down. And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cinex Premium Lubricants. Not all grease created equal. Cinex has the premium lubricants to keep your equipment running smoothly. Learn more by contacting your local experts at your nearest Cenex location or visit them at cenex.com. Well, April is National Pest Management Month, and we want to talk about this a little bit here. I think there's some really great tips and things that we need to consider from the National Pest Management Association. Joining us now from NPMA, he is Senior Vice President of Public Affairs and Chief Entomologist. Dr. Jim Fredericks is with us here on AOA today. Jim, thanks so much for the time. Hope you're doing well.
Thank you, Jesse. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, I wanted to talk about this because I think it's very important, not just for our rural listeners, but really if you're in town or anything, looking around your home here at this springtime and protecting it against pests. And I've heard some talk that this spring could be a pretty buggy spring, right, Jim?
Yeah, so with spring weather comes lots of pests. As the weather starts to warm up, we start to get those spring rains. We'll often see pest populations start to flourish. And so as we think about spring cleaning, it's also time to think about, you know, what pests might be lurking around the house.
Well, let's talk about some of those as we think about this spring in particular. Give us some thoughts on maybe some of the pests that you are watching for more so than others. What are some pests we need to be on the lookout for here this spring, Jim?
Well, one that I think that's extremely important for everyone to be on the lookout for this spring is termites. Termites cause more than $6.5 billion in damage to properties across the United States each and every year. And we often associate spring with termite season, but that's a little bit of a misnomer because termites are active year round, feeding on wood and causing some severe damage. But the reason that people think about the spring as being termite season is that's the time when termites begin to swarm. The winged termites emerge from the colonies seeking mates, When this happens in somebody's kitchen or in their living room, it is, you can't miss it. It's unmistakable, right? Sometimes that could happen outside though. And so these signs of termites are not always as obvious as a big termite swarm. It might be the termite damage, which is sometimes hidden. It might be mud tubes on a foundation wall. And so it's a good idea to have to schedule a professional termite inspection for the spring. Have someone come out and take a look for all those signs of a hidden infestation.
Well, thinking about termites, that's one. I wonder, too, about things like ants, ticks. I know it could always be an issue as you get into, you know, spring, summertime. What about some of those pests out there, Jim?
Sure. When I think about the spring, the weather starts to warm, as I mentioned, and so these pests begin to kind of wake up, right? They're coming out of their overwintering sites, and everyone has had the experience of some ants crawling across the kitchen counter, right? Mm-hmm. But there are some ants that are public health threats. So in the southern U.S., we could have red imported fire ants, which have painful stings that can cause allergic reactions that can send people to the hospital. In many parts of the country, we have carpenter ants. Carpenter ants are wood-destroying insects. And so just like termites, they can destroy the wood in your home, causing structural damage. But we also have, you know, about 20, 25 other common pest ants that will infest structures. It turns out there's about 700 different ant species across the U.S., but about 25 of those enter houses. And so when I think about preventing those ant infestations that we all deal with, it's a good idea to seal up food in airtight containers. Make sure you're wiping up spills on counters and floors. It's a good idea to, as part of the spring cleaning, you know, wipe out those pantry shelves because any crumbs or spills that might have occurred, you know, at least once a year, get in there and do a deep clean. And then something that people often forget is the trash can and the recycling bins. Make sure that those are cleaned out to make sure that they're not attractive food sources for these nuisance ants. So if we can take away their food, they're less likely to invade a structure.
What about rodents? That's something else I think we should talk about. Things like mice, for instance, et cetera. What are some concerns we have there this spring?
Well, we often think about rodent pressure occurring in the fall and the winter. So as fields are harvested, weather starts to cool, the food source outside begins to be reduced, the temperatures get cooler, rodents seek food and shelter inside structures. But oftentimes, once a mouse gets established inside a house, they don't leave in the spring. And so it's a good idea to be on the lookout for, in particular, house mice inside structures and the telltale signs that they leave behind. So, of course, people, you know, first thing you often see are droppings, or you'll hear some scratching in the walls. But mice are, you know, more than just a nuisance. They actually can exacerbate allergy and asthma symptoms indoors. Some of the proteins that are left behind from their urine actually can cause allergic reactions and exacerbate allergies. So not to mention the fact that many of these pests will carry the pathogens that cause foodborne illness on their bodies. Mice do this. And as they, you know, are crawling around wherever they're crawling, and then they wind up on your counter or on your food prep surfaces, they can leave some of those nasty germs behind. So for mouse prevention, rodent prevention in general, seal up any holes around the house. So this is all part of that spring cleaning, right? Seal up any holes around the outside of the house that are larger than a dime. A mouse can squeeze through a hole the size of a dime. It can squeeze through a gap that's just a quarter inch wide. And so take a look at the garage door. Make sure that the seals are sealed up and there isn't any light coming through around there. Look at utility penetrations, maybe where air conditioning or pipes enter the structure, electric enters the structure. Make sure that that's sealed up real well. If you can take away those access points, then you can kind of begin to seal out some of those pests that are seeking a place to live inside a house.
Well, Jim, great thoughts. And I know the National Pest Management Association, you guys have a lot of great resources available for folks online on your website, pestworld.org, don't you?
Yeah, you can find A lot of great information at bestworld.org. The nice thing about that site, and we pride ourselves on it, it's not a salesy site. We honestly have nothing to sell. What we're trying to do is educate folks about the dangers associated with pests. We so often think about structural household pests as being just a nuisance, but these are pests that damage homes. They spread disease. And they can contaminate food. And so we really need to take these things seriously. And we encourage folks to go and check that website out and find out more about these pests and then call a pro to help them with any of their pest control needs.
Pestworld.org for more information. Jim, before we let you go, anything final you'd want to share or reiterate for us today?
Well, one last thing that I think is really important, and we were talking a lot about these pests inside the house, but as the weather warms, we tend to get outside a lot more too. And so mosquitoes and ticks are pests that carry pathogens that cause disease. The CDC estimates that, half a million people will be diagnosed with Lyme disease this year. And so in places where if you're venturing out into these places where ticks are going to be present, make sure that you're wearing a repellent. Make sure that you're doing a tick check when you come back in. If you're venturing out in areas where mosquitoes are going to be present, wear repellent. Things like West Nile virus are a real concern. And so it's also a good idea around the outside of the house is do that spring cleaning in the yard. Look for places where standing water is occurring. So dump out any flower pots or some of the kids' toys that might be collecting some water. Any place that even a bottle cap full of rainwater can collect for a week is capable of breeding mosquitoes. And so if we can take those areas away in the yard, you can reduce the populations of biting mosquitoes in their yard. So there's lots of things that you can do to help protect your family from these pests.
Well, again, find more information at pestworld.org. And with that, we've been talking with the Senior Vice President of Public Affairs and Chief Entomologist at the National Pest Management Association, NPMA, Dr. Jim Fredericks. Jim, thanks for joining us here on Agriculture of America. Appreciate the time. We'll look forward to talking to you again in the future.
All right. Thank you.
And once again, good reminders there with Dr. Jim Fredericks with the National Pest Management Association. April, again, National Pest Management Month. Learn more at pestworld.org. All right, coming up next here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Greases. Not all grease created equal. Cenex Premium Greases are made with high-quality ingredients to provide durable protection. Learn more at Cenex.com. We are going to talk with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. He joins us next here on AOA, Agriculture of America.
AGCO is proud to launch PTX, a new leading brand that aligns precision ag technologies from Precision Planting and PTX Trimble. Two familiar brands with one common goal. Precision Planting and PTX Trimble know farming is easier when systems speak to each other. That's why they provide solutions that connect operations across the crop cycle to unlock visibility and flexibility, regardless of equipment color. Through automation, guidance, and upgrades for every season, PTX is your solution for precision ag technology, empowering you to be more efficient, more accurate, and make agronomic decisions with confidence. You'll find a local dealer network that provides expert knowledge and support for every season. As you focus on maximizing yield, they'll provide reliable service, education, and access to tools that strengthen your inputs. Innovative brands you trust, powerfully simple, seamlessly compatible. PTX. Visit PTXAg.com to learn more.
This is AOA. I'm Jody Heemstra with this check at agricultural markets from the American Ag Network. The corn harvest in Argentina is making progress and has at least 4 days of dry weather ahead. That's before rain returns to the forecast. Meanwhile, southern Brazil has another day of rain expected before the overall forecast for Brazil starts to turn drier. Late Monday, the U.S. Department of Agriculture said 6% of the U.S. corn crop was planted, mostly in southern states, with Missouri at 26% planted. Rain came to the northwestern plains overnight, and chances for severe weather are seen Tuesday morning in eastern Nebraska and eastern Kansas. Monday's USDA report showed 52.4 million bushels of corn inspected last week, another active week, helping to keep corn shipments up 34% in 2023-24 from a year ago. Soybeans are being pressured by slower U.S. export business, Brazil's soybean harvest reaching 84% complete, and Argentina's harvest at 11% complete. In the U.S., the U.S. Department of Agriculture said 3% of the soybean crop was planted on Monday, mostly in Arkansas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. Missouri and Tennessee are 8% planted, but there's not much north of those states, and that won't change much this week, with rains working eastward. Looking at wheat, wheat conditions continue to score much better than a year ago. Late Monday, USDA said 55% of the winter wheat crop was rated good to excellent. That's up from 27% a year ago at this time. 11% of the winter wheat has headed above the five-year average of 7% for this time of year. 7% of the spring wheat crop has been planted mostly in Washington and Idaho. Cash cattle is projected to be lower again this week. The cattle on feed report will be released Friday. The trade estimates are for on feed numbers April 1st at 102% of a year ago. That's a check at markets on AOA from the American Ag Network. I'm Jody Heemstra.
Hi, I'm Jenny Garth. I've loved and cared for rescue animals since I was a little girl growing up on a farm in Illinois. My pets have always been some of the most important members of my family. My friends at American Humane have been helping animals for over 140 years. Adopting an animal in need can help save a life and add a new member to your family. Since 1981, American Humane has celebrated Adopt a Dog Month each October in an effort to help the estimated 3 to 4 million animals waiting in shelters every year to get the loving forever home that they deserve. I urge you to consider fostering or adopting a shelter pet and to support the noble mission of American Humane. Together, we can make a significant difference in the lives of these loving creatures. For more information, please check out AmericanHumane.org.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Agriculture of America, AOA, brought to you by our friends at Cenex. Cenex Premium Diesels and Premium Lubricants. Trust your local experts and learn more at Cenex.com. Let's not waste any time. Joining us now for a conversation, Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley is with us. And Senator Grassley, welcome back to AOA. How are you, sir?
Very good. And how are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. I'm sipping on my morning coffee and enjoying a great day so far. And I have a lot of things I want to ask you about, so I'll dive in. I first just wanted some quick thoughts on the escalation in the Israel-Iran conflict. We saw this play out over the weekend. I know a lot of folks are concerned here at home and abroad. There's talk about aid to Israel and Ukraine being voted on this week on Capitol Hill, at least I've seen on the House side. Any thoughts on this escalating situation that we are watching in the Middle East right now, Senator?
Well, Iran has escalated it, and for the first time, they've done it directly from their own homeland of Iran. Over the last couple decades, most of Iran's warfare against Israel has been done through what we would call proxies, most often Hezbollah in Lebanon. So it's quite different and telling that Iran takes this stand against Israel in a very open way. In fact, bragged about it for a long time. In fact, triggered ahead of time by 6 or 7 hours that they were sending planes on the way to Israel. And the fact that most there was only 1% got through to do any harm in Israel. No deaths as a result of it. And I think quite a victory for Israel. But it's also a victory for the United States, a couple European countries, and three or four Arab nations that worked together to stop Iran attack on Israel. And I think that's good news for greater cooperation within the Middle East. That could be cooperation beyond military cooperation to the economic cooperations that started under the Trump administration that you call the Abraham Accords. Now, remember, the Abraham Accords were being negotiated between Israel and some Arab nations under their own auspices, not necessarily promoted by the United States like under the Trump administration. And that looked like that was going to succeed until October the 7th when Hamas invaded Israel. And then Arab nations pulled back from that. But it didn't seem to me that it was a permanent pullback, or they wouldn't have been helped in this effort to protect Israel from the Iranian drones and missiles.
Well, I appreciate your perspective on that. We'll watch the situation, of course, as it unfolds. Let's talk farm bill. House Ag Chair G.T. Thompson said he wants to have a House bill out of committee by Memorial Day. Meantime, in recent days, you have discussed and highlighted the fact that Senator Schumer does not have the farm bill on his immediate agenda in the Senate. Could you share your thoughts on that and where this farm bill currently stands on the Senate side?
Well, first of all, I would applaud Chairman Thompson. He does move a farm bill. I don't think it's going to make much difference with Chairwoman Stabenow and the fact that she and Senator Boozman have not been able to reach an agreement on putting more farm in the farm bill. In other words, more reference pricing, higher reference pricing to reflect the increase in inflation on agricultural inputs that haven't been adjusted up since the 2018 Farm Bill. And I think that dispute's going to keep it from moving. But I think it's that Thompson's doing the best he can, and I hope he succeeds. And I hope it does have an effect on what's going on in the Senate. But right now, I don't see it having an effect.
And
I hope I'm surprised.
And with Senator Schumer not having it on his immediate agenda, I know that was something that in itself seemingly kind of signals that there's not a great outlook to get a farm bill through the Senate just with Senator Schumer's agenda, right?
That's right. And I don't think it would ever be on Schumer's agenda until something comes out of the Senate Ag Committee.
Okay. All right. Well, thinking about that too, and you mentioned the reference prices, I know you worked with Senator John Hoeven and Senator Jody Ernst to introduce the Farmer Act here in recent days to help with strengthening crop insurance and more. Could you talk about that legislation for us that just came out in recent days?
Yeah. I think the main thing is to make sure that we keep premiums reasonable. And I think expand coverage a little bit. And there's some other things in it, but I think those are the two main points that we would like to make with improving crop insurance.
Okay. Let's talk summertime E15. We still don't have an emergency waiver. You've been pushing for one along with Senate colleagues and many other folks in the ag industry. Any updates for us in terms of what we're hearing in regards to getting an emergency waiver for summertime E15 fuel sales?
We don't have any response from the White House on that point or EPA, but I would expect since they did in 22 and 23, they ought to be doing it in 24. There's not any good reason for not doing it, particularly since in the 8 states that petition EPA, we're going to have it every year into the future and from next year on. And so it ought to be for 24 as well, but they didn't do it. EPA didn't do it. And that's why we petitioned the president.
Another topic I want to ask you about is an update on the EATS Act. And I know there's been talk of folks looking at that as a solution to Proposition 12. Any updates on the EATS Act? Is that something that is still on the table here potentially, or what are we looking at with the EATS Act right now, Senator?
It's another one of those things that's not on Schumer's agenda, and if we were going to ever get it up, it'd have to be part of the five-year farm bill. And to this point, it's just a Republican bill. We don't have any Democratic co-sponsors. And I don't know why they don't, because, for instance, the Minnesota senators, it's the second biggest pork producing state in the nation. They ought to be joining us in this effort. And we need to do it. Now, we're also finding that just simply an animal agriculture issue is difficult to promote in and of itself, particularly since you have the animal rights people having so much power through the Democratic caucus. But now with the price of pork going up 20% in California and pork loins up 40%, it also has the possibility of becoming a consumer issue. And if we could get some consumer help besides just agriculture help on the needs for the EATS Act, that would be helpful. But we haven't developed that yet. And I think with these figures coming out on the increased price of pork in just the state of California to that extent, and at a time when farmers are losing money on producing pork, it seems to me that ought to catch fire. California consumers should be outraged at what's happening because of an animal rights referendum that says you can't sell pork in California if you don't have bigger farrowing crates than what we've had historically in the rest of the country.
Senator, great conversation as always. I just want to wrap up today. What have you heard from your constituents in the state of Iowa here recently? What are maybe one or two of the biggest concerns that Iowa farmers have on their minds that maybe they've shared with you here in the early part of 2024? Is there anything else that you've been hearing from your constituents as of late?
Well, it wouldn't surprise you if I told you that not in every one of the 23 counties I had meetings in last week, but the farm bill came up in at least half of them. The issue of the inflation, how it impacts on farming, the issue of Proposition 12. And maybe farmers that are older, worried about what they can leave to their families of the family farm, the fact that estate tax could be cut in half if we let the 2017 tax bill sunset.
A lot of things that are on the mind of folks in rural America, no doubt. We appreciate the time. With that, Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Senator, thanks for joining us on AOA today. Have a great week, sir. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Be glad to be with you anytime. Goodbye.
And once again, great thoughts there with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley joining us here today on Agriculture of America. AOA brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. Not all grease created equal. Trust your local experts at Cenex to get you the right premium greases for your equipment to keep your operation running, or learn more at cenex.com. Up next, we're going to talk with BASF's Troy Bauer about SCN here on AOA.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, Or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
This is Around the Table, where we explore the benefits of cooperative ownership. Today, Mackenzie Smith, an agronomy products expert with CHS, offers crop nutrition strategies to propel early plant growth. Why is it important to have the right nutrients available as crops get established?
One thing that comes to my mind right away when I'm asked that question is the four R's, which is the right source, right rate, right time, and right place. This is a really solid foundation for a fertility plan. Starter fertilizers at the right rates allow us to put fertility safely in the root zone and is available at the most crucial time, which we know is establishment.
What do you look for in an effective starter fertilizer?
10-34-0 obviously comes to mind. And then products like Accelerate, which is a 7-23-5. Those are both great options, but lack micronutrients like zinc. If you are using these commonly used products, one thing I would recommend adding into your tank is a product like Levisol ZN. And what that will do, it really helps allow zinc, phosphorus, and other micronutrients that are already present in your soil more available. Enhances nutrient availability, speed of emergence, and really overall plant health. And then if you're looking for a best option, a kind of one product that fits and checks all those boxes, I'd recommend a product like Lumen. And Lumen is a premium, low-salt starter fertilizer. The formulation on that is a 5-15-3, and it also includes our Levisol chelate.
Well, where can growers learn more about how to build starter fertilizer into their crop plans?
CHS Agronomy has a great website, chsagronomy.com. You can go on there, look at our whole portfolio of products. I would also recommend, obviously, working with your local retailers and sales agronomists.
Mackenzie, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And thank you for joining us Around the Table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted card to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your card donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted card.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. Trust your local experts at your nearest Cenex location or visit them online for more. Just go to cenex.com. Well, joining us now on the program as we wrap things up here today on AOA, we want to discuss soybean cyst nematode, SCN, such a harmful pest in our soybean fields across the country. BASF has launched a new website, scnfields.com, to help producers with tips and help them to better prepare for SCN management. Joining us now, Troy Bauer with BASF to talk about SCN and the new website. Troy, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate you being on. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, Jesse, great to talk to you today, and thanks for the intro. That's the scnfields.com. It's really part of the whole BASF portfolio of digital solutions, really helping to support farmers, kind of automate some of the data that we have out there, and really helps to create some actionable insights for growers.
Yeah, because with SCN, as kind of alluded to, such a yield robber, such a tough pest for folks to deal with in their soybean fields. And I know a lot of times, Troy, when it comes down to it, many growers don't know they have an SCN problem until it's too late, right?
Yeah. This is really a pest that you can only manage before you plant. And so it's really important for you to understand what type of level of SCN may be present out there for the growers, and they really need to help to improve their decision making. And that's what SCN Fields is all about. It's really to help growers get on there. They can go up and look in their area, kind of by zip code or by their hometown, see what types of level SCN is present in the fields surrounding them. And then once they kind of get that educated information and maybe realize that SCN may or may not be a more of a problem in their area, they can go out and soil sample and determine that level and then develop a management plan. Because as the Crop Protection Network estimates that we're losing about $1.5 billion in annual yield loss every year to soybean cyst nematodes. So it's something that's really actionable. And based on what we've seen at BASF, SCN is detected in nearly 80% of the fields that we soil sample it for. And then almost kind of in that 55 to 60% range, we have SCN at very damaging levels. So we need to make sure we have a good management plan in place for growers to maximize their yield potential.
Well, and I'm wondering about this, too, when it comes to SCN, Troy, can it have effects on other diseases as well in our soybean fields? Can it cause, make things easier for other diseases or pests to show up potentially? Talk to me about that a little bit.
Yeah, Jesse, you're a very good student. That's exactly right. SCN can really exacerbate the situation for a number of other diseases. One of the diseases that's more prevalent throughout the Midwest is sudden death syndrome. And those two pests really exacerbate each other. SCN can help bring on more SDS pressure out there. And that's why it's so important to manage both of those pests together. So if you can help manage your SCN and help manage your SDS, you're going to maximize your yield potential. And that's why it's so important to have a product like Alevo that BASF provides to the marketplace. It has activity on both of those pests, and it's a proven product that returns about 4.6 bushel per acre when those pests are present in growers' fields. So growers need to understand the level of disease pressure and SCN pressure that they have in their field and then manage appropriately, develop a management plan.
Yeah, and that management plan, to your point about, thinking about seed treatments like Alevo and things like that, and just making sure that you don't go into a growing season blind, so to speak, right, Troy? I mean, you make sure you are ready and prepared, because to your point earlier, if you find it in your field in the middle of the growing season, it's probably too late at that point to really mitigate the damage, isn't it?
That's absolutely right. So growers need to have a management plan in place for a soybean cyst nematode. Number one, they need to go out and soil sample their fields, understand the level of SCN pressure that's present in their field. And then once that gets to a damaging level, they need to start a management plan. And crop rotation is usually the best practice. The second best practice after that would be to plant a resistant soybean variety, PI88788, or rotate to Peking source cyst resistant. It seems to be a better resistance package, but we can't just rely on that either, because they will develop resistance to that as well. And then the third piece to that is to use an effective seed treatment, such as a Levo seed treatment. So you need to have all those steps in place to really help manage that, because that $1.5 billion that the Crop Protection Network estimates we lose to SCN every year, it's the largest pest that we have out there. So develop a management strategy and put that in place to maximize your yield potential and increase your profitability.
Definitely have different things together to make a comprehensive management plan for SCN. And again, folks can find more info, scnfields.com. You can also, I'm sure, Troy, folks have questions, reach out to your local BASF technical representative and going online, of course, and many, many ways to get in touch and talk about putting together that SCN management plan, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Reach out to your trusted agronomic advisor. Reach out to your local BASF representative. We would be very happy to help you out.
SCNfields.com. Also, agriculture.basf.us for more information. Troy Bauer, BASF Senior Field Technical Representative, thanks for joining us on the program today. Really appreciate the time.
Yep. Thanks so much, Jesse. You have a great week.
Once again, good thoughts there on SCN and SCN management with Troy Bauer from BASF. Well, with that, we are up against the clock. We're out of time here today on AOA, brought to you by our friends at Cenex. Their premium diesels and premium lubricants will keep you operational during this busy spring planting season, because hard work, long hours, and extreme conditions aren't new. Premium diesel to keep you going and premium lubricants too. Learn more at Cenex.com. Coming up on tomorrow's AOA, we're going to have a conversation with Chandler Gould, the CEO of the National Association of Wheat Growers. We'll also talk with the president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, Mark Isley, and we'll hear a recent conversation I had with Cobank's Tanner Emke talking about the expansion of soybean crush. All that and more coming up tomorrow on AOA. I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your day.
AGCO is proud to launch PTX, a new leading brand that aligns precision ag technologies, from Precision Planting and PTX Trimble. Two familiar brands with one common goal. Precision Planting and PTX Trimble know farming is easier when systems speak to each other. That's why they provide solutions that connect operations across the crop cycle to unlock visibility and flexibility, regardless of equipment color. Through automation, guidance, and upgrades for every season, PTX is your solution for precision ag technology, empowering you to be more efficient, more accurate, and make agronomic decisions with confidence. You'll find a local dealer network that provides expert knowledge and support for every season. As you focus on maximizing yield, they'll provide reliable service, education, and access to tools that strengthen your inputs. Innovative brands you trust, powerfully simple, seamlessly compatible. PTX. Visit PTXAg.com to learn more.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Stargardt disease was supposed to define me.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down. A blinding eye disease attempted to force me away from doing what I was born to do.
But it cannot stop me. I have the tools.
I will keep moving forward.
Pushing past the limits of this disability.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Loss of sight won't blind our vision. Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.